Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Nerds with Friends. We're glad to be back. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and survived Black Friday. My name is Cody Leach, and I'm joined, as always, by Christian Garcia.
You know, I was wondering why it did feel like a long time, and I forgot that last week we didn't record.
Took a week off. Sorry for missing a week, but it is too crazy. Some of you may know I work in retail, and I wanted to die. Every year that weekend is exceedingly terrible.
So
like,
shout out to all the people that had to work on Black Friday, man.
Whether you work at you know, grocery store or like Target or Best Buy or any retailer, and you had to deal with people on your Thanksgiving, you're the real heroes, and fuck everyone else.
It's all the shoppers really who need to be blamed. Like, don't be outside fucking 48 hours before the store opens lining up.
You know, it's funny because this year actually was probably the slowest year I've seen in about 12 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess with online shopping and whatnot.
Online shopping has kind of alleviated a lot of that because you can get really great deals just by sitting in your underwear, like ignoring your family at Thanksgiving.
That's what I do every Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And not a lot of campers. Like, people would show up, you know, a couple hours ahead of time.
Oh, nice.
But besides that, you know, there, I've had people out in front of the store the Tuesday before.
And yeah, I've seen it before 48 hours, like, beforehand.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't you have a family? Like, I don't think the deal on that TV is more important than being with your family.
Yeah, no. Well, they probably don't have a family, or their family hates them or something because of their cheapness. It's rough, and I'm glad to see that maybe it's slowing down a little bit, and hopefully one day we'll get back to the point where Thanksgiving, most people are just closed.
Right.
You know, I don't mind, you know, when I first started working at Best Buy, you know, I didn't mind leaving my house at like 10 o'clock at night on Thanksgiving to go to work, which we opened at like midnight or whatever. That didn't bother me as much. I mean, it was like a weird...
Like, you get to spend the Thanksgiving with your family.
You get to spend
it, but then you just fucking want to die.
Yeah, like, you're just full and tired and annoyed. But at least, you know, your family didn't have to make, you know, sacrifices and stuff for you to work, right? But now it's like, you know, we opened at 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving.
That's crazy.
Which is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I don't understand it, but... Anyway, maybe in the future, you know, some people will make some changes, and then we don't have to do that anymore. But yeah, if people keep shopping, they're going to keep doing it because money is, like, you know, what they're after. You know?
I feel like it's Walmart that's still big on that kind of stuff.
Walmart, Target, Kohl's, I think, is also open.
Really?
Something crazy. Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure like Kohl's or JCPenney or something is open like all day Thanksgiving.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's particularly JCPenney. Who the fuck's trying to go to JCPenney?
Yeah, exactly. That's why they're open so late. Come on in, guys. Come on in. The water is fine. Here's, you know, I think we've talked about this on previous, like, Black Friday episodes, but the TVs that everyone comes in, like hot and heavy for, like, Best Buy and Target and stuff, those TVs aren't made all year round. They're made specifically for Black Friday so that they're super cheap.
Yeah.
And they have, like, less inputs, less features, less processing power.
It's the same thing with the laptops. You're not getting a deal on those laptops.
You're not getting a deal. You know, it says like, oh, normally it's $799 on sale for $100. It's like, well, no, that laptop is never sold for $799. It's sold only at $100 on Black Friday or whatever. So, I'm sure.
You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for, yeah. But anyway, so thank you to all the people who had to work on those days. We're back. We've got some fun, exciting stuff to talk about. We recently launched a tea, which we'll get into in a minute, which sounds crazy, and it is crazy, but it's also really cool.
So. And delicious.
And delicious. And we're going to talk a little bit about Pokemon Sword and Shield, which I'm super excited about. I know you haven't really played a Pokemon game since Red and Blue, right?
Is that the original one?
Yep.
Then yes.
It's been a while.
What is this on the Switch?
It's on Nintendo Switch. Yeah.
I'll think about it.
So we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then maybe we'll hit some Mandalorian along the way too. But before we do that, let's start, as we always do, with some nerdy confessions. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Sure, I go first.
I read a Stephen King book.
I did. Talisman.
God damn it.
It wasn't that. But the Talisman... Anyway, I will get into it. I've been doing a lot of research on the Sith, just because I'm getting ready for Rise of Skywalker. And I feel like they're going to... Well, it's obvious, well, at least to me, it feels obvious of how they're going to bring Palpatine from his... Master, Plagueis. I've heard people say Plagueis. I've heard Plagueis. I don't know. I've heard multiple different.
Yeah, I know. He's basically a plague.
I guess.
Well,
anyway, so he actually did learn how to manipulate and bring people back from. Well, actually, it was more of preventing people from dying.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming Palpatine learned it from him, and this is how he actually never died and has just been in the background a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I just really hope, though, that they make both of them into, or one of either Rey or Kylo Ren into a gray Jedi. I feel like they're hinting towards it. So the grays are somewhere in the middle. They're not, they use both light and dark.
They can use lightning, but they don't want to.
No, they do. They use whatever is useful at the moment. And they're actually about true balance.
Yeah.
So they're not about the light. They're not about the dark. They use both. Whatever is most convenient. Or efficient to use at the moment.
So they're lazy.
I would say they're smart. I mean, you're using both.
You see a guy who's like in an easy chair and he just lightnings himself a beer. Whoosh!
Yeah. I mean, sure. Or lightnings his wheelchair to work, I guess.
Lightnings his penis to jerk off.
I don't know if I would want to do that.
That'd be nice. I don't know.
Using the force to jerk off?
Bzzz. Yeah, it's like the stranger. It's a perfect stranger.
I wonder what's more efficient, though. Like, I wonder what uses more energy. Like, calories?
I don't know.
Calories to use your hand or the force? They never really explain if you run out of force, I guess, or if you get force tired.
All the video games would lead us to believe that you run out of force.
Right, if you lose, if we're following the Fallen Order, then yeah, a push takes like half your force.
Dude, that's one of my biggest complaints about that game, even though I still really like it, though I'm probably going to sell it, too, because I'm over it. Like, I don't want to go back and play it anymore.
I don't know. I haven't beat it yet, so I don't know if there's going to be much replay value. So.
I mean, you can still find stuff, but...
Oh, and I got to the two, was it AT... The two
ATSTs?
I beat them in Jedi Knight without dropping, and I think I didn't even get hit once.
Wow, that's crazy.
They were... I don't know. They were super easy to me.
Even when they dropped all those extra dudes on you?
Yeah, no, I did it pretty easy. Wow. You're talking about on it was the ice planet, the Jedi planet.
Yeah, that might sound right.
Yeah, I took like zero hits.
Oh, well.
Now where
good for you?
Where I had to drop it, and I was pissed off that I had to drop it, is when you had to fight the topless dude on the Darth Maul planet.
Topless dude.
Yeah, he was He was the one that was forcing the Night Sisters.
Oh, yeah. I forget his name.
He was hard, and I had to drop it on him, and I was pissed off.
Yeah, he was difficult, for sure. But just had so many unblockable moves.
Right, and it's like, even in Jedi Knight, I got him down to super close to beating him, and then he just went fucking berserk on me, and then just destroyed me.
Yep. Fucking game.
But anyway,
too hard.
So I really hope that they do gray. I really, really hope that they do gray. I it's either going to be that or it's going to be Kylo Ren is going to be redeemed.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine, and I mean the title Rise of Skywalker, I mean I feel like it's kind of like forcing us to believe that that's the way it's going. Unless it's his rise to power. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange. I mean, I'm trying to stay away from theories and trailers and things like that because, you know, so I've watched like the first trailer, which looked awesome. The one where she does the red lightsaber that like clicks over or whatever, but that's the only one I've seen. So I want to go into it with no preconceptions. So I'm not disappointed. I'm just experiencing it.
Oh, and also I've read a whole lot about Snoke, and Snoke. I'm so sorry. He was a lot cooler if you read his backstory, but the movies really didn't give you any information. But I guess this was all through comics and a couple of the novels that came after the movie.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they do that. I mean, look at Boba Fett. I mean, he had no part basically in the movies. And, you know, but he's become one of the most popular characters in Star Wars canon. So it is interesting how, like, these backstories, I always wonder, like, do they really have it in the back of their head? Or when people are like, dude, Snoke just went out like a little bitch. They're like, oh, no, no, he was cool. He had this, and he did all this, and then they come out with it after.
Yeah, know? It was interesting because he's not a Sith. He's just Force-sensitive. He's just researched.
Well, there can only be two Sith ever.
Right, but he wasn't at all. So apparently after Darth Vader and Darth Sidious, once they died, there has since been no Siths.
Yeah.
There's been Force-sensitive beings, mm-hmm. which is
what the Inquisitors are not.
Right, they're not. They're not Jedi. They're not Sith. They're they're just Force-sensitive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, they didn't explain this in the movie. This is all me reading about it through.
Well, yeah. So, like, you have to choose and be chosen to be both a Sith and a Jedi.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can just if you watch Star Wars Rebels.
I haven't yet, because I actually started Clone Wars again, and I want to finish Clone Wars.
Fuck Clone Wars.
No, it's so good. It is so good.
Rebels is way better. And then in Fallen Order, too, you can choose not to be a Jedi anymore.
Right.
And it's not like you lose your Jedi powers. You still have everything you've ever learned and your lightsaber, but you're just not a Jedi.
Another thing I was reading about is Qui-Gon Jinn was technically not a Jedi. He was allowed to be in the Jedi Order, but technically he was a gray because he didn't always follow their orders and he didn't always agree with what they were saying. The fact that he was going to take Anakin, although they said no, he was still going to do it. It's like, so technically speaking, he was a gray.
Well, I mean, they did let him do it, so then wouldn't be a gray.
Well, I mean, he kind of forced their hand.
Yeah, he did, but that's a strategy. That's part of being a Jedi, too. All right. My nerdy confession is I recently stumbled upon this new YouTube series that I'm all about right now. And are you familiar with Wormwood?
Oh, yeah. Wormwood Gaming?
Yeah. Gaming. They make, like, dice trays, awesome, like, gaming tables.
Yeah.
All sorts of cool stuff out of, like, exotic woods.
Satine's always getting, like, all of I know. Really fucking cool
I'm stuff. I'm super jealous that she just gets that shit for free. Satine, give me one.
maybe if you ask nicely.
No. Give me one. But, yeah, so they're amazing. They're an amazing company, and if you're into Dungeons & Dragons, check it out. It's wormwoodgaming.com. Wormwood spelled W-Y-R-M Wood.
They just came out with a new little dice carrier tray.
Yes, they have. So I knew all of that going into it. I've seen them at conventions and stuff like that, and they're always awesome looking. But what I discovered is they have this YouTube show called Worm Life, and it's life with a L-Y-F-E. And it's all about, like, the shenanigans that go on at their factory. And it's 3 seasons long, and they're short episodes, like, you know, 5 to 10 to 15 minutes kind of thing.
Which is long for YouTube, but...
Yeah, you know, 15 minutes, I say, is your standard YouTube show for the most part, right? Yeah, man, it's just... It looks like such an awesome place to work. And, like, the guys are so funny, and the shit that they go through, like, making these, like, awesome things...
Is Where are they located?
Massachusetts, it seems like.
Oh, God. So far.
I know, so far. But yeah, it's you should check it out. It's called Worm Life on YouTube. Or if you just search Wormwood on YouTube and subscribe to their channel, it also has, like, cool intro videos to all of their products. You know, like, they go over, like, their tables. Like, they have one table that can get up to the $15,000-$20,000 range. And what's, like, cool about it, aside from being made of, like, super exotic woods and stuff and being, like, super fine crafted, is that... like other gaming tables, you know, they have the leaves in the table that you can pull out, and there's a gaming surface underneath that's either like a felt or regular hardwood. But it also comes with this dope ass, like, crank that jams into the side of it that you can raise and lower that gaming surface.
What?
So you can actually raise it higher than the edge of the table. So it sits up on top of everything, so you can, like, I don't know.
So you could get, like, a, was it like?
Like a miniatures eye view kind of thing of the game. So yeah, check those guys out. I've basically binged through, like, all, I don't know how many, 40, 50 episodes.
You know, once we get some of that sweet tea money, maybe we can afford one of those tables.
Yeah, we can go in on one of those tables. But yeah, man, it's so awesome. And I've always wanted one of their, either their little dice vault things or their like miniature holder deals.
Yeah.
And they have these new things that are these, they call them gaming tiles, where they're magnetic and they stick all together in like a big stack if you want. But then when you unfold them and unstick them from each other, they'll make like a little like pattern of holders and stuff for like dice, miniatures.
Yeah, no, I've seen their dice holders. They're amazing.
They have a cool little thing for spell cards. And then they have a spell casting tracker that has little magnetic ball bearings that you drop in for like my first level spells, second level spells.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've never seen them make something where I'm like, oh, I don't want that.
No, yeah. I mean, everything's like, oh, I want that. Oh, $700? Well, I wish I could have that. They made the GM screen for Matt Mercer on his most recent one that he's, and that thing is fucking dope.
Yeah, I mean, all this stuff looks great. Yeah.
Yeah. So check it out, Worm Life on YouTube.
And now that we plugged you guys, you know, if you guys want to send us some stuff, we're not gonna be mad.
Yeah, we're not gonna be mad. We'll review it. I mean, we'll give it a sterling review whether we like it or not. We love it. All righty then. That does it for Nerdy Confessions. So we have some merchandise of our own to plug.
Yes.
This is super exciting. So, a while back we kind of talked about how this fine tea company Plum Deluxe reached out to us and was like, "Hey, would you like to try some of our teas and, you know, do a little review of them?" And we were like, "Of course we will. Yeah, we love handouts
and tea."
And so we went through and you know, tasted a bunch of their teas, and they were all so good. The cinnamon one, I still have some. I go back and buy that one every once in a while. And, you know, through that, we got some contacts over there, and we were talking back and forth a little bit, and we eventually brought up the fact that we thought it would be cool if we came up with our own signature flavor of tea.
And they were like, of course.
And they were like, that's actually a really cool idea. And so we started talking to Andy, who's like the CEO of the company, and he was super cool about it.
He's a really nice guy.
He's super nice.
I haven't met many owners of companies, but
yeah, I know. I've met very few, in fact. But he was a super nice guy, and he really worked with us on developing a flavor that we were into.
Yeah,
and so we came up with some packaging. We came up with a label. And we've settled on a flavor, and now we have it available for you, our listeners.
Yes.
So the easiest way to get it is going to nerdswithfriendspodcast.com, which is where, you know, we have our homepage and has links to our Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff.
Origin story.
Our origin story, which is fun. Some videos that we made a long time ago, too, which are probably a little dated now. But and there's a big button right in the front page that says, "We made a tea," and you just click on it and it'll bring you to their page. You can also, and every bag that you buy, which there's $7, I think, $7.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Every bag you buy helps support the show. And if you buy other stuff too, that's not Nerds with Friends specific, that also helps support us as well. As long as you click through that link. They have cool stuff. They have like tea sets, like mugs and strainers and all sorts of teapots and all sorts of stuff. So, check them out. Here, you want to hand me that bag right there? Oh my gosh, the noisiest way possible. Okay, cool. And to give you guys a little flavor profile, so it's called Nerd Tea Confession.
We're clever.
We're so clever. And it is black tea primarily, and it's also honeybush tea. Love that honeybush.
I'm not sure if when I taste it, what part is the honeybush?
Oh, I can always taste honeybush. It's got coconut pieces, cardamom, ginger, cinnamon, lemongrass, clove, a little black pepper. That's a wild card, but I like it.
You know, when he told us the description.
Cocoa nibs.
And I tried it, I was like, this is really, really good. Outside of it being ours, it is delicious.
Yeah, and some hazelnut essence. So it is amazing. I'm going to take a whiff right now so you get my genuine. Oh, God.
You want me to open that for you?
I got it. I just didn't want it to look everywhere, you know? Oh, it's so good. It's like a coconut, hazelnut, nutty chai. And it is perfect for wintertime, rainy time tea sessions. So I think everyone should check it out. We love it. We think you will love it too. Get your bags, multiple bags, and make great gifts, stocking stuffers.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, give them to the nerd in your life.
You can give it to anyone. Your grandma.
Yeah, you give it to homeless people.
I don't know if they have access to hot water, but, you know, I guess so.
I mean, I feel like hot water is pretty easy to obtain, right? I mean.
All right. So, Cody, please explain to all our homeless listeners how they can get
hot water. I'm not saying they have a computer to listen to this, okay? But I'm just saying, you know, I've seen little cooking, little pots, like you get a little camp stove. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. You know, friction, you know.
Or, okay, here, better yet, you just buy the tea for yourself and just donate to homeless people.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, if you want to do that, you can check out my buddy Steven's sock company, Nyama 5, which I think their website is Nyama 5 Studios. And I...
we'll put a link on Twitter and
we'll put a link on Instagram and stuff so you can check it out. But he does a thing kind of like Tom's does with shoes, where you buy a pair of shoes, they give a pair of shoes. They do that with socks, and they're all made in America.
Nice.
And they're San Francisco themed. So very, very cool. Let's get in the giving mood for Christmas time.
So, you know, give to us, give to the homeless this holiday season.
Yeah, but mostly give to yourself. Give yourself the gift of tea.
There you go. And socks.
And socks. Yeah, it's fine.
Drink the tea in comfortable
in
socks.
In your comfy socks, and then we'll get a robe company, like, involved.
Eventually.
And you'll just be cozy in your robe, and you never have to leave the house. You just sit at home and listen to Nerds with Friends all the time.
There we go.
Yeah. In your PJs. All righty then. So, I want it. Now, I know, Christian, you haven't played Pokemon in a while, which saddens me to know.
You know what? This is going to be your pitch to see if you convince me to buy it.
Okay. Perfect. Here's my pitch. So, Pokemon Sword and Shield just recently came out, like 2 weeks ago, or yeah, 2 weeks ago for Nintendo Switch. Now, previous Pokemon games were all on what systems, Christian?
I don't know, 64, fucking NES, no. Game Boy.
No, you're definitely showing your true colors here. You don't know anything about
3DS. I don't know.
Game Boy is where the first ones came out on, right?
Right.
Then Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
Then Nintendo DS. They're always handheld portable systems.
Okay.
There have been some offshoot games like Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Snap. Remember Pokemon Snap on the Nintendo 64? You had to get a picture of the surfing Pikachu.
Oh, yeah.
You had to, like, turn around at the right moment. He's like, oh, shit, he's surfing. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, right? We were all traumatized trying to get surfing Pikachu. But there hasn't been a true Pokemon game on a home system ever.
Okay.
Then Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu came out, which were kind of... They're kind of a mix between Pokemon Go, where you, like, flick the ball at the Pokemon to catch it, and they were, like, reskins of Red and Blue.
Okay.
Like the original ones. This is the first time that a new original Pokemon game has come out on a home console, and it is fucking awesome.
Is it Ash?
No, it's you. You're the person.
Okay.
Playing it. You know, you create, you know, your little profile. You have different hair and different faces. And
do I have to wear the hat?
No, you don't. You don't have to wear the hat.
Nice.
I wish I haven't unlocked that hat yet. It's got to be in the game somewhere. But you can get all sorts of different little beanies and top hats and, well, anything you want.
You had me at beanies.
I got a cool leather jacket right now. It's like a red leather jacket. And then I have like a little mime shirt underneath. It's like black and white stripes. And then I have some cool tight jogger pants. Yeah, it's awesome.
You didn't give yourself shorts? You're always wearing shorts.
I haven't found a pair that really speak to me yet.
Okay.
But I will eventually. So anyway, it's completely, like, it's just like a Pokemon game where you're kind of free to roam wherever you want in the world, and you kind of go to different towns later on throughout the game, right? You're catching Pokemon, you're fighting Pokemon trainers, you're going through gym battles. But there's some things that really make this game stand out above all the other games. The first being that it's 3D. I mean, well, you know, like 3D graphics. It's not pop, you don't have to wear glasses or anything. But
is it just like your standard RPG? Like you're picking your attack, you're picking like...
It is, yeah. Okay. It's still a turn-based RPG system. But what's cool about it is as you're like searching through for Pokemon in the overworld, they call it, you know, like, you know, when you're out just third person view running around through the grass and shit, you'll actually see Pokemon wandering around in the grass. So you'll see like, you know, little ears and stuff sticking out of the tall grass. So you can actually see what Pokemon are in the area, and you can run over there and pick which Pokemon you encounter. You can also, there are still some surprise ones. You'll see little exclamation points or question marks pop up out of the grass and stuff. And then as you walk around too, you'll see big, giant, powerful Pokemon every once in a while that'll kind of appear at, depending on the weather, the time of day, and stuff like that. So it's really cool. It's really like being in a world full of Pokemon, where in previous games, you would be, you know, you'd have an overview look of your character.
I always remember the Zelda-like view.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the original Zelda. And you would go through the grass, and you wouldn't see anything, and then all of a sudden you would stop, and it'd go... Oh, I should have loaded Pokemon sounds. Damn it.
We'll add it in post.
Yeah, exactly. We'll add some Pokemon sounds. But, it's really cool to see the Pokemon out there and kind of interacting with the world and stuff. It's really funny every once in a while, because some Pokemon are really big. So you'll see a Machoke or a Machamp, remember those guys?
Yeah.
And they're just like fucking thugging around in the tall grass. I'm like, dude, I can see you. Like, you're not hiding from anybody. He's like, oh. And another cool feature to this new game is the addition of Dynamax and Gigantamax Pokemon. And what those are is in special areas like gyms and what they call raid dens, where you can do these high level battles with four people against one gigantic Pokemon.
All right.
You can actually power up your Pokemon and turn them into their Dynamax or giant form. So they'll like
sometimes. Well, I don't know if I'd want to see a Raichu Dynamax form.
Yeah. The Pikachu one's hilarious. He's like, Pikachu. And fun fact in this game, too, bringing up Pikachu, they're the only. Pikachu is the only. Oh, and Eevee. Pikachu and Eevee are the only ones who actually say their name live in the game. All the other ones have the. Like computerized version of it that you would get from playing the game like that. Huh. But Pikachu's actually here. Pikachu and, you know, Eevee, or whatever the fuck.
I wonder why they did that.
I don't know. I think it's because they had recordings already and it's freaking Pikachu. Everyone wants like, it would be really cool if they get to a point where maybe the next one, everyone has its own, like.
How many Pokemon are in this game?
Like fucking 400 or something.
Yeah, I get why they didn't do 400 sound.
Yeah, 400 sound bites. But anyway, so getting back to Dynamax Pokemon, they'll grow big and basically sometimes you'll get the energy right away. Like if you're in a gym battle, you can choose what time you want to Dynamax your Pokemon and make them grow up bigger. And they'll have upgraded powerful attacks when they're gigantic. But it only lasts for like three turns. So you have to pick and choose. Like, do I save it till the end? Do I knock out part of the team really early on and then fight the rest of the team as normal size? And then your opponent has it too at some points too. So it's really a cool tweak to the battle system.
You could actually fight other actual players.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do that too. And you can do gym leaders and trainers and stuff in the game as well. But yeah, you can do versus over the internet. With randoms or with your friends. You can also do the raid battles where you fight against these Pokemon in, you know, these Gigantamax Pokemon.
So if you're doing player versus player, can you take any of their Pokemon after?
No.
So you just gain experience.
Yeah. You gain like experience and candies and stuff like that. Yeah. That would be fucking raw as fuck.
It would. But can you imagine?
Playing for slips. Oh, he took my Mew. That was a limited edition.
But can you imagine like people would... Go
flip out.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, little kids would cry. That's why they don't do it. It's because at the end of the day, it's still kind of a children's game. But yeah.
It's like if you lose, kid, I'm taking your best Pokemon.
Give me that Snorlax, bitch. So what's really cool, though, is, okay, there's these giant forms where it's just your Pokemon bigger. But there's also the special edition of them called Gigantamax instead of Dynamax. Gigantamax means that when they grow bigger, they actually have a slightly different appearance. So the best example, which is out right now, it just started on December 4th, which was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Or 2 days, two days ago if you're listening to this on Friday. They just started an event for Gigantamax Snorlax. And so basically, it starts off as a regular Snorlax, but then when you make him big, he's laying down on his back, as Snorlax tend to do, right? He's not standing up like normal. He's laying down asleep, and he's got like a forest growing on his belly, like a, like trees and like grass and stuff, because he's been sleeping for so long. And then there's another one, Gengar.
Wait, remember? This is the biggest form of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When you're fighting with him normal, he'll just appear like a normal Snorlax. But when you Dynamax or Gigantamax him, he gets this cool altered appearance kind of thing.
And so he gets a happy trail.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And then there's ones like Gengar. Remember Gengar? He's the ghost type Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. He evolves from Ghastly and Haunter.
Yep.
So there's a Gigantamax version of him where it's just him and he's got this giant open mouth. And the mouth is basically a portal into hell.
They put hell in a kid's game.
Well, you know, the underworld. But, you know, we all know what it is, Christian. yeah, so lots of cool, like, versions. Oh, there's
so one. So you can go to hell, and you can, like, see
ghosts. No, it's just like his, you know, it's his appearance.
Okay.
But it's like a portal with stairway or whatever going down into the
netherworld. But you can't actually go in there.
No. They didn't create an entirely new game just for the one Pokemon. Butterfree is another one. Remember the butterfly?
Yep.
They have one where his wings are hella big. He looks like fucking Mothra.
That's what I was about amazing. To say. He was in Mothra.
Mothra! It'd be cool if you had like...
Little twin sisters.
Little twin sisters on a seashell or whatever. But yeah, it's a super fun game. Charizard is awesome. His wings are like flames instead of just being like regular dragon wings. They're actually made of fire and he's got like fire eyebrows and shit like that. Pretty dope.
Nice.
It's been really fun, like playing through the actual story mode of it, but there's also like all this post game stuff you can do. You can hunt the Gigantamax Pokemon. There's shinies to find. You can go through this battle tower where it's basically like really hard battles that you create like a team of three, and you can battle against a bunch of really hard trainers that are like way harder than the normal playthrough of the game. So it's a really cool game, a lot of replay value, and it's probably the best Pokemon game I've played since Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, which was one of the best games that they ever made.
I'm not 100% sold, but I'm like 75%
you
sold.
You should get it. It's amazing. And then there's all sorts of little mini games and stuff. If that's more up your alley, you can like set up camp with your Pokemon to heal them. And you heal them by like playing with them. You can get a little jingly bell and they come over. And it's really funny to have someone like Gyarados come over and you're like, jingle, jingle, jingle. And he's like, I love it. Gyarados.
Okay, that sold me a little bit more because it sounds a little bit more like D&D where you can take, you know, like a short rest or a long rest.
Yeah, you can take little rests and you can cook curry for them and stuff. And, you know, depending on how good the curry is and what ingredients you use in it. It'll heal the Pokemon. It'll get rid of their status conditions. It'll, you know, give them experience.
I don't know why stupid little things like that, like cooking in games, makes me happy. Like, in, like the last Zelda game where you're like, you can make certain foods that heal you an X amount
if
you get the right recipe.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, it's such like a little...
If you love that, you will love this.
I don't know. Like, to me,
so
it's like,
many.
It's such a silly little dumb thing, but I get so much joy out of it.
Yeah.
Like, doing it.
The best part about cooking... is like when you're about to eat it, you see like a split screen between you and like the leader of your Pokemon team, whoever's in your first position. And it's you like slowly moving the spoon into your mouth with your mouth open. And the Pokemon's got its mouth open. Like it's like, is it going to be good? Is it going to be good? And then when you eat it and he kind of like your Pokemon kind of chomps his mouth as if he's eating it too. And then there's like a little tense moment and you're like, oh, it's hella good. And the Pokemon's like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
Oh, so you eat it before they eat it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like when, you know, you're sitting there eating dinner and your dog's sitting there just like, yeah, I bet that would be good. I bet it tastes real good.
Can you make shitty food though?
Yeah, you can. And then they're just like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's great. Lots of fun little things like that sprinkled throughout the game and stuff. There's a couple cool legendary Pokemon. There's for the main ones for the game are they're both look kind of like wolves. They're like white wolves, but one straight up carries a sword in its mouth, and one has this big like chest armor coming up off of it that's a shield.
So did someone put the armor on the Pokemon, or they just grow it?
It's like,
how did this wolf get the sword?
No, because you see him without it before.
Okay.
And like,
so I arm the wolf.
Yeah, it's like basically the story of, so this one takes place in like England, basically. It's not called England, it's called Galar, but it's England. People, it's funny because when you're reading the text, people are like saying weird ass shit. You're like, what the fuck did he say?
It's like, why is color spelled funny? Why is there a U in color?
No, it's like, you know, I believe he's a right good trainer. I do. And you're like, okay, calm down. I get it. They're all English. So basically the story goes is that there was like this really bad cataclysmic event called the Darkest Day. And these, originally you're like uncovering this mystery as you're going out through the game.
So you're about to ruin the game for me.
No, I mean, who gives a shit? You know, it's going to be the Pokemon. I mean, like, I'm not an idiot. You're like, oh no, it's definitely Sword and Shield. It's the two Pokemon. I get it. But basically, it's these two heroes who had their two Pokemon. They've like forged some like magical weapons for these Pokemon, and they helped combat this like world ending event called the Darkest Day. Which one of those two?
It's dark
when it shouldn't be. And so yeah, it's like one of the Pokemon has this magical sword and one has this magical shield. It's kind of it's unclear whether they helped make those or if they were like imbued with power somehow else, or they fell from a comet or something. You know, it's classic Pokemon shit.
Okay.
But yeah, they're pretty cool. And then you do fight this other legendary Pokemon that you can catch, which is like, he looks kind of like a skeleton bird, which is kind of fun. But yeah, man, lots of new Pokemon, lots of variants on old Pokemon. So you say you only know the
150,
the original 150, right? Or 151 if you include Mew.
Right.
So like, what was your favorite Pokemon?
You know, it's ridiculous, but just because I liked the way he was designed, Squirtle.
Squirtle, yeah, Squirtle's pretty awesome. So it's not clear yet if he's in this game or not. Some data miners think that they've
lost
him.
Me completely on the no.
Yeah, but there are similar guys to Squirtle and Blastoise and stuff that are similar. But a lot of the original 151 are in this game, but some will have slight variations on them. So like, remember. Coughing and wheezing.
Yeah.
Right. So
I would try to avoid them. I never really wanted to catch one.
Yeah, I know. So original coughing looks the same. Wheezing though, which was just like a purple, it was like two or three of them stuck together. Wheezing in this one has these like chimneys coming out of his head with like smoke coming out, like a power plant kind of thing.
Okay.
And then there's Ponyta and Rapidash, which are normally...
I never caught them. I always wanted to. I never got it.
They're the horses, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they're fire horses in that game. In this one, they're actually fairy-powered. So they're fairy-type Pokemon, and they look like fucking unicorns. So it's kind of fun where they'll play around with...
Is there like a nightmare version one that looks evil?
No, that would be cool, though. That would be... I'm trying to think. There are some... There was like a dark version of something else. But that's what's really interesting is there's these Pokemon that you know and love. It's not all brand new ones.
Right, because
after a while, they stop being interesting or good. But there are like cool variants of these Pokemon. They did that a little bit in Sun and Moon, which was the last one. And it was basically set in Hawaii. And so there's Alolan versions of Pokemon because you were in Aloha. Aloha, get it?
Yes.
Come on, Pokemon. Yeah, so there's still cool different variants. So, like, it's really tripped me up a couple times. So when I went to go fight Rapidash, right, I'm like, oh, Rapidash, I'm going to just throw some water on this bitch. And so I bring out a water Pokemon.
And not realize
and then
that
it pops
fairy.
Up as fairy, and it just one-shots me. I'm like, I hate it. So it's really interesting, really fun. And just like seeing the Pokemon out in the world, I think is worth it in itself.
All right. But I'm closer.
We're
like 80%.
Worth checking out, you know? And if you guys are playing Pokemon Sword and Shield, you can hit me up on the Nerds with Friends Instagram. I will give you my friend code and we can G-Max battle, raid battle, catch some Snorlaxes.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
I'll think about it. I'm close to it. Now I have a question.
Yeah.
When they say math, is it maths or math?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Has no one ever...
I don't think they've said it.
Okay. I don't know why it really bothers me when people say maths. It's like...
Well, someone added one too many.
It's just math. It's math.
Or magics. Have you ever heard that?
No. Have people say magics?
Magics. Like, teach us your dark magics.
No, it's just magic.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's a fantasy thing that I've heard in several things. It's like, look at him in his magics. Man, I've been... speaking of that, I've been reading that started with the Warding Man book. It's called like the Demon something. It's a series of fantasy novels. Man, it is getting fucking great. It is so good. If you guys have not checked it out, start the Warded Man. That's the first novel. Man, it is so good.
How many books is it?
I think it's 4 or 5. So I'm on book 3 now.
All right.
But I think it's complete. So you can actually get it all. You're not going to have to wait 10 years Name of the Wind or a Stormlight Archive.
Yeah, the Stormlight Archive. I'm like, what? I have to wait now?
Yeah. It's rough. It's a rough time.
That's why I've been hitting up a lot of Stephen King.
Yeah. Check out this one next. I think you might like it.
I'll squeeze it in.
Oh, man. They're fighting demons all the time, and they're uncovering more magic, and they got sick magic weapons.
Right now, I'm still on the path to the tower. I'm trying to read all the books that are connected to the Dark Tower. The Talisman actually is connected a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
He did a sequel to it, The Black House, so that's the next one I was going to...
Black House.
You know, it was interesting.
It's where the vice president lives.
I know I didn't do it in Nerdy Confession, but now I'm talking about it anyway. The beginning of the book, I wasn't feeling it, and I was like, wow, this is the first Stephen King book that I've like been listening to that I'm not like a huge fan, but it was him and Peter Straub, and I was like, oh.
Fucking Peter Straub just shitting all over it.
And yeah, I mean, granted, I don't know which half, but like the first half, I was like, I guess.
Ooh, Peter Straub, no me gusta.
But then the second half, I was like, oh shit, this is really good, I'm fucking sold, and then I could not stop listening to it, and I was like, that had to have been the Stephen King part. It's like it felt more like Stephen King telling a story.
Yeah.
That and the voice actor was not that great. Frank Muller.
Frank Caliendo.
Oh, the impressionist?
Yeah, that'd be so weird.
Actually, I mean, he'd be able to do all the voices, but
that's true. I wonder why more of those guys don't get into that.
I don't know.
Probably doesn't pay as well.
You know, it's a little
SNL or whatever.
It's a little cringy, is like when you have like the voice actors and they're doing like a certain ethnicity and it's like really bad.
Yeah. Yes, sir, massa. Oh, shit.
Like,
there's a British guy somewhere doing something terrible.
It was in
The Shining with
Halloran.
Halloran. Yeah, there was some stuff where I'm like, he's relishing in the word boy way too much.
Yeah, I mean, in this one, or in The Talisman, there was a character, that was definitely, he was black, and then the voice that he put, like, a little cringy. What was the other one
I would default to Morgan Freeman. That's what I would just do. You got the shot in there, boy.
Oh, God.
Well, daddy.
There was another one.
See the Emperor Penguin? Marching along. All the way to Shawshank.
You know, that last part actually wasn't that bad.
It's not that bad. It gets better the more I do it.
But some of them were doing an Asian woman. I'm like, oh Jesus God. Christ. Like, stop. Like, just say it's an Asian woman. Like, you don't got to do the voice. Yes.
Oh, so sorry. Was it like that?
Just like that.
God damn it.
It was like terrible.
Was for The Talisman?
No, that wasn't for The Talisman. That was for, it wasn't Dr. Sleep. It was,
I wonder if it's like an older one.
No, it was a newer one. In fact, it's a show that's just about to come out.
Outsider?
Yes, The Outsider. Yes, thank you.
Oh, God. Yeah, that one's a fairly new book. I was like, maybe it was recorded in the 70s. I mean, they didn't know any better.
Yeah, I was just like, ooh, like, come on, man. Like, but granted,
that's unfortunate.
Also, I mean, I wouldn't put it all on the voice act. I mean, they have directors and stuff. Like,
no, be more Asian. Yeah.
It's like,
nope, more Asian.
I need more Chinese.
I need more. You know, like, sir, I don't yeah, like, want to
no,
do this.
No, I don't know.
Well, either you do it or I'm going to come in and do it. Oh, God. It changes to someone completely different for us.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. It would be very hard for me if I was a voice actor and they're like, no, I need more Asian. Like, dude.
You know.
I know what you mean. I'm not comfortable doing it.
Sir, I know what you mean, but I will not do that. Oh, God. That's terrible, but also hilarious.
It's terrible.
It's hilarious laughing at the situation, but it's terrible that it exists.
Like, I don't know. I would just throw it back at the director. Like, no, I don't know. You know what? No, you do it, and I'll mimic you.
Yeah. How does it sound? One thing that I've recently gotten into, which is it's a new hobby that I'm just about to dip my toes into, is I just bought a bunch of stuff to start painting miniatures for D&D.
Ooh, nice.
I'm super excited.
Check out Will Friedel's videos. He does a whole bunch of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll check that out. Have you ever seen Dwarven Forge?
The company that makes the
Awesome, like, diorama type terrain and stuff. Dude.
That's on some next level stuff. They make some amazing stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, with, like, lights and, like, moving shit and smoke coming out of it. No, it's fantastic, amazing. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I just want to make my characters look cool.
Are you going to paint your owlbear?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. That came with the paint set. You know, it's a D&D official starter kit.
My background's in illustration, but I can't work that small.
Yeah.
I would have to have some.
That's what she said. I'm sorry.
I would love to paint, like, bigger ones.
That's also what she said.
Like, at least quarter size.
That's awesome. She's just, it's like you were there, Christian. Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm interested in doing it. Like, I got some real fine paintbrushes, you know, and then, you know, I have some washes to go over and, like, helps fill in the cracks and shadow it and stuff. So I'm excited.
Go for it. But sometimes for me, the gray ones look better. Sometimes I like the unfinished gray ones.
Yeah. It depends, I guess. And have you ever heard of Hero Forge?
Yeah.
That's where I got the smaller one.
That's where I made my two characters.
Oh, nice. Hero Forge. Yeah, for those of you who are into tabletop games, you probably already know about Hero Forge. But in case you don't, Hero Forge is a website that you can go to where you can make custom minis.
And custom, you can pose them in certain positions.
Yeah, so like, for instance, the reason why I went there, because, you know, I'd always seen them in, like, it's like, you know, maybe I'll try it one day. It's like, it's $30 for, like, one miniature, which is kind of a lot.
Well, it depends. Depends on the size and the
material.
The
bigger ones, yeah. Bigger ones get
and,
more expensive.
And the material. I mean, so it really depends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know what, dude? For a custom, your own
especially
custom,
if you're playing for, like, 6 months or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, what's $30?
And even after the game, you're going to use that miniature and something else. Yeah. It could be, like, you know, an NPC. It can be, like, a villain later.
Right. So the reason why I got into it originally was because my friends and I recently started a new game of Pathfinder 2nd Edition, which I just want to play D&D. I don't know why we always have to play Pathfinder, but I've come to terms with it. And Pathfinder 2nd Edition is actually a lot like 5e, which is making it a lot easier. I just like the pride of saying, oh, I'm playing D&D. I was like, no, I'm playing Pathfinder 2.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's good. The new version is really good. There's some cool changes. But, you know, that's content for another episode. But I really wanted to create this character. I had this cool character in mind that I wanted to make. And it was a half-elf barbarian, which sounds weird, right?
Yeah, because you would think they're more dainty, more slender.
Yeah, exactly. But kind of his backstory that I came up with was that he was kind of he had a hard time fitting in with his elven brothers, you know, like at like some I imagine they all go to school together or something, you know?
Whatever elves do.
Elves, yeah, yeah. They're at some academy and they're like picking on him because he's like half human.
Like, ugh, half blood, get out of here.
Ugh, get out of here, gross. Because elves are racist. Everyone knows that. I mean, that's undeniable.
Yeah, we learned that in Bright.
Yeah, exactly. And so basically, he's always had a hard time, not because he's been bullied and stuff, he's always had a hard time controlling his temper. So he would like, he would lash out at these guys, bully him, and just beat the shit out of these other elves.
So and, he would rage.
Yeah, he would fucking go into a barbarian rage. And so that basically, I haven't quite figured out the rest of it. I mean, I don't want a super detailed story, but he basically leaves elven society to go out on his own because he doesn't fit in and he has trouble dealing with his emotions and keeping them under control. Basically, I wanted him to be like a barbarian Spock. And so that's kind of how I came up with the character. But when you go to look for a miniature at your local hobby shop, and I suggest everyone go to the local hobby shops because, you know, support your local businesses. But you look through all the different miniatures that they have, and there's always something a little bit off. Like,
well, like
I found one that
half elves are usually like rangers or
right.
Like
they're always rangers, paladins or wizards or whatever. And you know, I found a cool barbarian that I kind of liked the look of, but he was holding a battle axe and I wanted a great sword. And I'm like, well, you know, I guess I'll get him. It's the closest thing I can have. I can still pick a sword in my equipment in right. playing the game. But then I have this guy who's holding an axe, you know, and I'm like, it's just not satisfying. So I was like, you know what? Let's go to Hero Forge and give it a try. So I went in there, I picked exactly what I wanted him to look like, exactly what armor, what sword, what pose, how big he was, you know, how muscular he was and stuff. And you know, a couple weeks later, shows up right on my doorstep, and he looks awesome.
Yeah, and they have, like, other races that's not, at least not in 5e.
Oh, they have so all sorts of stuff.
They have all and different poses and different
weapons.
Yeah,
they have, like, robots and skeletons.
Yeah,
and
so it's
like
not
that.
Necessarily just for
and they have guns D&D. And stuff, so really good for, like, Starfinder, when we were playing Starfinder, which yeah. is a futuristic space game. You can make ones for that. And there's some really cool, like, guns and stuff. You can have them, like, twin Gatling guns. And I was like, I almost did that just for fun. You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, here's it. This is his greatsword. It's a greatsword machine gun.
Well, I mean, if you, you know, there's...
You can have them holding guitars and stuff if you're a bard.
Yeah, if you, they have... I mean, you can also make a gunslinger character. I mean, Matt Mercer put together a pretty cool PDF file of what he used for...
Yeah, if you want to break if you want to break all the rules... Then yes, you can.
Well, it's homebrew. You know, you can do that.
That's not what the rules say.
Well, if you're going to be like one of those, you know, that's not what's in the book. But, you know,
yeah,
the game is to have fun.
You can literally make whatever you want. But one of the problems with that in particular is because this game just came out, it'd be hard to balance all of that with the way the new battle system comes out. They might do it eventually. I mean, you could do like... You'd use the stats of like a crossbow or something like that. But
yeah, I mean, it's not that difficult. I mean, people, I've seen some super creative, like people have yeah. come up with some really amazing homebrew stuff where I look at it and like, oh man, that actually sounds like a fucking great idea.
Yeah,
there's some pretty nice balance in there.
Yeah. So that's, I'm looking forward to doing that and getting into painting these miniatures.
Did you get one of those weird, like, magnifier thingies, like
no
big glass thing?
No, I might eventually, though. It depends how this goes.
You might have to, because
my eyes aren't as good as they used to be, but we'll see how that goes. But I got the little paint set, I got the little palette to like mix and dilute my paints, and just gonna go
that's the painting noise.
Yep. So I'm super excited for that. I will post pictures of that as we as I paint them. We'll set that up on Instagram so you guys could see my progress.
Put a WIP, work in progress.
Work in progress. No, I'm just going to do it once it turns out good. If it turns out shitty, you won't ever see it.
Well, I mean, it's permanent, right? It's not like you can wash it off or anything.
Yeah, I know. I just won't take a picture. Yeah. Yeah, just paint over. Oh, starting over. Primer white. But yeah, and then looking into the world of painting these things, man, there are some guys out there who are crazy artists.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we're talking about Dwarven Forge. Like, look up their crap. It is amazing.
I can't paint that small. I just can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting because there's a lot of detail, especially on that owl bear.
Yeah.
Who's basically a mix between an owl and a bear.
Which is a great mix.
Terrifying. What if the bear fall asleep? What, like, how did that happen?
I don't know.
Hoo, hoo.
Magic.
Yeah, that poor owl.
Or the bear. I don't know. Maybe it was a big owl.
Yeah, maybe. All righty then. You want to talk a little bit of Mandalorian? We got 5 minutes left.
I think we can do 2 episodes in the next.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Well, in that case, we'll just let you know one more time. Check out nerdswithfriendspodcast.com. Get yourself a bag of Nerd Tea Confession.
From Plum Deluxe.
From Plum Deluxe Teas. And check out their site, too. There's a lot of great flavors on there, too.
But when you check out their site, click our link.
Yeah. Click our link and buy our tea, first and foremost. But also, try some other teas. Because, you know, what I found, especially with, you know, this is, I forget how many, what is this? You didn't put, I don't know how much. This, I think it's an ounce of tea.
I think it said you can make 10 servings, I think it was.
It's supposed to be like 10 to 15 cups of tea.
Right.
So, you know, pretty good amount. But one thing I found is that, you know, by the time I've made a few cups, I'm like, oh, this is really good. Now it's time to order more already. So do yourself a favor. Buy 2 bags.
Yeah.
You know, and try a couple different flavors. And they're really good, too. If you buy a bunch of flavors, a lot of times they'll give you little sampler packs, too.
Right.
So if you buy more, they'll give you those little sample packs. So check it out. But yeah, once again, nerdswithfriendspodcast.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebooks. We are very active on there. So hit us up on there if you want to tell us your nerdy confessions, or if you have cool ideas for guests that you'd like to see, or topics you'd like to talk about. I think on the next episode, too, we'll talk a little bit about The Toys That Made Us. Remember that show?
Actually, yes. Next week. Ooh. We might have something double booked. We'll talk about it after.
Okay. Great. Logistical problems. Okay. But, you know, anyway, we have some fun guests coming up in the next couple episodes, too. We'll bring some old friends back and some new friends, and we'll talk some Mandalorian, too. So thank you guys for listening, sharing with your friends, and hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Thank you, Christian, for...
fun, as always.
You know, always being there, and, you know, reminding me that not everyone loves Pokemon. But to all the nerds out there, remember, you're not alone. You're with friends. This is Nerds with Friends. Thank you, and good night.